Welcome to the People and Projects Podcast, where you'll find interviews and insights to help you deliver projects and lead teams. You can find us on the web at peopleandprojectspodcast.com. Hi, this is Andy Coffin, President of the Institute for Leadership Excellence Development Corporate. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the People and Projects Podcast. Well, hopefully by now you've already had a chance to listen to the first part of my interview with Tony Schwartz. In the second part, Tony talks about the concept of pulsing and gets very transparent about his own struggle to implement these ideas. Let's get to part two of my discussion with Tony Schwartz, author of The Way We're Working Isn't Working.
Now, something I really appreciate about your book, you're writing overall, is this concept of these sprints. You know, you're pulsing, how you wrote your book in 90-minute sprints. And just this last week, my nine-year-old daughter says, you know, Dad, I'm having so much trouble reading this book. My mind gets distracted. And I said, all right, this is what I learned from this guy named Tony Schwartz. I said, set a little alarm. For the next 15 minutes, all you're going to do is just read. And then when the alarm goes off for 5 minutes, just go run around the house or go get a breath of fresh air. She came back to me about an hour and a half later, she goes, Dad, I've gotten so much reading done. That system works.
that just tickles my heart.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I did that with my kids when they were young. They're now grown. But the same thing, kids, you know, you can't fool a kid. You can tell a kid what's good for them,
right,
but it doesn't matter. What matters is their experience. And you did exactly the right thing with your child. So when I talk about these cycles for an adult, the maximum cycle, let me underline that word maximum, the maximum cycle that you can use where you are fully engaged, where you have energy to put everything you have into it, is 90 minutes. It's called the Ultradian cycle. So we encourage people to focus in a very absorbed way for no more than 90 minutes. But with a 9-year-old child trying to read a difficult book, what she perceives as a difficult book, to say to her 15 minutes is a great thing. Because what you're trying to teach her is how to collect and keep her attention on one thing. And you don't say to her, hey, just do it for 2 hours.
Right.
You know, just get it all done. And, you know, because what will happen is her mind will wander. She'll get frustrated. And what she's actually training is distraction. So perfect what you did. And kids get it in a moment. And I say that to anybody who's a parent out there. You want to help your kid with homework? Stop telling them to do it or discourage them, if that's their inclination, discourage them from trying to do it continuously.
Yeah.
Teach them to pulse.
Yeah, pulse. That is such a powerful concept. You know, and it's just an example of how your book isn't just theory. I feel like a lot of books on this are more theory-oriented that make you nod when you read it, but then you go and try it, you can't do it. There's a lot of practical advice and tips. And, you know, once again, I want people to get a copy of the book to get it all. But just off the top of your head, if you'd say, these are just a couple of the practical recommendations that you can consistently hear from people that they get the most benefit from. What comes to mind, Tony?
So number one, with a bullet, not only the one that we hear people get the most value from, but the one I, for the last 11 years, consider to be what my number one ritual. I call it a ritual, because a ritual is a behavior that you do over and over so it becomes automatic and you don't have to think about it anymore.
Right, as opposed to a habit that just happens to develop over time, less intentionality for a habit. If I remember right.
Exactly. And usually we associate habits with bad things.
You right. Know,
I have a smoking habit.
You right. Know, I kick the habit.
You know, I have a habit of getting angry. Yeah. I have, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
So, yeah, my number one is do the most important thing first in the morning each day. The most important and the most challenging thing first for up to 90 minutes without interruption, and then take a break.
Got it.
Now, we've talked enough in this call for everybody to understand why I would say something like that. Let me add to it that the reason to do it first, again, it's common sense, but we lose awareness of it when we're too busy. When you wake up and you have, you know, most of you have a cup of coffee, most of us are best in the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
You have the highest amount of energy and the fewest distractions. So why not do the activity that requires the greatest concentration and will deliver the greatest value?
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we answer email. We procrastinate on the harder things. We leave them till late in the day when we say, you know what? I'll do that another day.
That's good.
We value the urgent over the important.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So that's a Stephen Covey phrase, but very relevant here.
Absolutely.
So do the most important thing first every morning. That's number one.
Yeah.
Second most important thing is take back your lunch.
Yeah.
and that's both specific and a metaphor. So take back your lunch is make sure that you don't put yourself into a continuous work mode. Make sure that at least once a day you take a true renewal break.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, get out of your office, get away from your computer, walk outside, get natural sunlight, and leave your BlackBerry and your iPhone behind. Because when we just did a poll recently, we found that over 60% of the 1,200 respondents to this poll told us that they were spending less than two waking hours a day completely disconnected from email.
Wow.
And 20% told us they were spending less than half an hour a day disconnected from email.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's
crazy.
I mean, at that point, they have a BlackBerry in the shower. You know, I mean, it's that's crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, how many people do you know, and maybe you're one, but how many people do you know who wake up in the morning and either take their laptop into bed with them or, you know, it's the first thing they look at if it's their PDA. And then the last thing they do before they go to bed is to make sure they check their email. This is where we are both splitting our attention and running ourselves down. You've got to be strategic. So choose periods of the day when you turn off the internet or whatever it is that makes, you know, that you get your information through so that you can focus on whatever it is that is more meaningful. So those are two things.
Very, very practical. And Tony, just to wrap this up, I know in my own life when I'm trying to help people, it's easy for me to dish out advice, but I can have some challenges in practicing what I preach, so to speak. So of all the stuff that you share in your books and your presentations and your coaching, what's one of the most difficult for you to follow yourself?
To be honest, we teach what we need to learn.
Yeah.
And I really think that I find each of these things challenging.
Yeah.
I find each of them challenging. I find it in the world we're living in right now as I'm trying to run a company that's, you know, growing fast and got a lot of inputs, that it's very, very hard for me to do the very thing I just said, which is to be very intentional about taking time during the day where I am not looking at any kind of email.
Yeah.
During the day. That's one that I have a challenge with.
Yeah.
Let me think about what else do I have a challenge with. Second one, which we didn't really talk much about, is really understanding that when something upsetting or bad happens,
yeah,
the most important thing you can do is to quiet the body.
Mm.
Because as long as the body's aroused, as long as you're feeling those stress hormones surging through your body, we have a thing we call the golden rule of triggers. A trigger is something that, you know, pushes you into negative emotion. And the golden rule of triggers is whatever you feel compelled to do, don't.
That's good. That's good.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
So for me to learn, I have to learn this lesson over and over and over again, that when I want to say something, I'm almost always better off holding my fire. When I really want to say it, hold my fire and instead breathe and feel my feet.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Count to 10 or 10,000, right?
But here's the thing that I want to say, because I don't set myself up as the model of every one of these behaviors. I do say that I hold myself accountable and I ask other people to hold me accountable. They call this sometimes the wounded healer.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. But what I do know is these behaviors, I know the best practices now. When I fall short, I know I fall short.
Right.
And I can return very quickly to an awareness of this is what I should have done and this is what I need to do in the next situation. And so, you know, to anybody who's out there going to read this book and begin to try some of these behaviors, you can't let yourself get discouraged that you don't get it right the first time or the third time or the tenth time. What's great to know is this is what I need to be doing, and this is what I'm setting myself up to aspire to.
Many years ago, in fact, this is about 20 years ago, a mentor told me, he goes, you know, Andy, I start my day every day, and what I do is I read the Bible, and I read it through every year. And I thought, well, isn't that kind of interesting? And 18 years ago, I started for 18 years straight. I've done it now, Tony. And so when it comes to doing something to ground me at the beginning of a day, all right, so I've done that. So that's kind of aligned with what you said, doing the something important at the beginning.
So many ways that, and, you know, I don't want people to feel like it has to be the Bible, or it has to be, you know, the Torah, or it has to be the Koran. What matters is that you've chosen something that's meaningful to you, that inspires you to be the best you can be. You step away from the rush of ongoing life. You do it in a ritualized way. It puts you in the right frame of mind every day. It's a beautiful thing. And I admire anybody who does something like that, because I think it not only sets them up to be better themselves, but it sets them up to do the most important thing, which is to be better on behalf of other people.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
To be of more service to others.
So I've got that one down. But my answer to the thing is, what's hard for me to do is this, you know, when I'm really busy, to stand up and take the break. I mean, I get it intellectually, but to stand up and say, all right, it's been 90 minutes or it's been an hour, to clear the brain, it's almost like I don't have time to do it. I know better.
Well, here's the thing. You have to do what you've done with your morning reading.
Exactly.
You have to do with your breaks, meaning you've picked a time to do that morning reading. You need to pick a time in the morning to do the break. You have to say at 10:30 and at 2:30, I'm going to get up no matter what. And if for some reason I'm on a call or I get stuck, the minute that call ends, I know the clock is ticking. I'm going to get up. And you have to do that enough times that you no longer have to think about it. If you don't do it, you feel bad. It's the way people get about, you know, working out. Once they've done it enough, even though it's hard, they feel worse when they don't do it. That's where you got to get.
That's it. Yeah. You know, Tony, it's a real pleasure to talk with you today. For those who are listening, I recommend you get a copy of Tony's book, The Way We're Working Isn't Working, The Four Forgotten Needs That Energize Great Performance. And I also recommend you check out Tony's website, theenergyproject.com. Also, check out the website of Take Back Your Lunch. You can access helpful tools and tips, as well as learn about the training that's offered by Tony and his team. And I've put links to those sites in the show notes for this cast. So, Tony, I really enjoyed the opportunity to speak with you. Thank you again for joining us on the People and Projects podcast.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Special thanks again to Tony for joining us for the podcast. I wholeheartedly recommend you get a copy of Tony's book, The Way We're Working Isn't Working. It's a great way to take the next step in making a radical difference in your own performance, as well as that of your team. Also, make sure to check out the show notes for links to Tony's websites. Hey, there's another way to take the next step in your performance. In the coming months, you'll be learning about our Leadership Fast Track program, which will be launching in Q2 of this year. The Leadership Fast Track program is designed to help accelerate your ability to lead and deliver. You'll participate in a series of practical workshops that I personally will facilitate. And the program also includes leadership assessments and personal coaching, allowing me to do all I can to help you accelerate your ability to lead and deliver. Want to learn more? Follow the link in the show notes to join our early bird notification list, and you'll be among the first to get updates about the program. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of the People and Projects podcast. Have yourself a great week.
I was actually impacted by the work that you and Jim did a while ago. And when I saw your face at O'Hare, when I was walking through and saw a billboard of your book, I'm thinking, man, that name is so familiar. And do you remember the name of this? It was a big gathering, like Colin Powell would speak and Zig Ziglar would speak. And I think either you or Jim gave the message there from about the managing energy, not time. Well, maybe this might have been like, what, 10 years ago or something like that?
That would have been Jack Groppel.
Okay.
Who was our third partner.
Got it.
He went out on that circuit, which was called, gosh, I forget, but he did about a bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where you would have heard it. It would have been Jack.
Yeah.
The bald guy.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's right. Yeah, you've got too much hair for him for that to be you, right? Yeah. But I remember walking away, I took my team to it, and we all were like, that was the talk. I mean, that concept that you guys really fostered and you've really turned into a way to help lots of people in many different industries is just an amazing concept.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's come a long way. And, you know, I left Jim in Jim and Jack in 2003 to launch the Energy Project. What we've done is really take the message that was originally largely about the physical dimension
right.
and really enrich it in all the other three dimensions.
Yeah, and it's done very effectively in the book, but I got to tell you, even when I was reading this current book, I was intrigued by some of that same stuff, though, about how the physical does kind of impact the rest, too, you know?
Well, there's no question.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question.
And I thought about my eating patterns, and, you know, so I'm glad you kept some of that still in there, though, because...
Oh, for sure. I didn't get rid of anything, only added. What's your life primarily about?
From a work perspective, it's really the intersection between people and projects. I've got a lot of project management background, and so we'll do a lot of training on project management, keynotes on project management, and typically it's corporate setting, but it's always got the people side of it as well. I think that intersection between the two is where stuff really gets done.
Are you a fan of GTD?
Yeah. In fact, 99 or 2000, I went out to a David Allen session, and I walked away thinking my life has been changed from an organization standpoint.
I'm David and I have become good friends, and we're going to actually do a event together at a 4-day event for people at Miraval.
Is that right?
Resort Miraval in January.
Yeah, and
you're the kind of guy who, you know, people who like our work and have a project management background also often love David.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this might be the perfect thing for you.
You know, is that being marketed yet, or is
not yet?
Let me know as you guys get a little further. If you happen to recall, now see a true GTD guy would write that down right now, there, my friend. But you know, hey Tony, you know, thanks a lot, and this is going to be a very helpful thing, and wish you much continued success with your business.
You too.
Thanks,
you
man.
Too. And thanks for doing this. Bye bye.
Bye bye.